moves are being made, and quite frankly, they're happening too fast in terms of making these podcasts relevant. I thought this was the off season. There is no off season for Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your day. Thank you for making Locked On MLB your first listeners. We're available for free on all your podcast catchers. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. As you can tell from my lower third just right there, you can call me Sully. Now, this show is being dropped on the 29th day of November 2021, just like the other one was. And we're available wherever you get your podcasts. We're available here on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So, yeah, this episode is coming right on the heels of the other episode where I talked about Marcus Semien. I talked about some of the other moves that were going on in baseball. And the reason I'm doing this podcast as well, which is coming right on the heels, is because I record that podcast. I thought we're all ready. It's late November. I'm going to go to bed at a reasonable hour. And then, boom, more news happens. More news happens. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my update right now. Then I'm going to go to bed. Then I'm going to wake up. I'm going to see what happened in my slumber. And I'm going to report on that. And then I'm going to release this one. So you're getting two episodes because that's how fast things are moving here. Let me just bring up the other day I talked, or the other day, a couple hours ago when I recorded the podcast that was supposed to be up for today. And it is up. It is available on podcast here on YouTube. Eduardo Escobar was the other player that the Mets acquired, whose name I couldn't remember. Again, Canna, Escobar, Marte, all good players. Can't tell if they're going to be difference makers for the Mets, but here we go. Hey, here's another player that could be a difference maker for the Mets, and that is Max Scherzer. Now, we don't know for sure right now, as I'm recording this, if Max Scherzer has officially signed with the New York Metropolitans. And remember, around the trade deadline, it was all but reported that Scherzer had been acquired by the San Diego Padres. So don't always believe this person's close, that person's. Now, according to John Rossi of MLB Network, there's a multi-year contract that Scherzer is being offered by the Mets. And I am a little surprised by that. But once again, the Mets have to make a splash. And they're continuing to swallow up some of these veteran players to, I guess, divert the fact that they've been a train wreck in this offseason. They've been an absolute train wreck since the early days of August when they were first place all by themselves. They fell apart. sub-500 season, the team that shot past them in the standings, the Braves, went on to win the World Series. Now, I would be a little surprised if Scherzer, who's already made his fortune and already is a lock to be in the Hall of Fame and clearly wants to win one more ring before hanging him up, there are other teams that are a hell of a lot closer to winning a World Series than the Mets. Like, oh, I don't know, the Dodgers, the team he finished the season up with. I know there's a lot of people in Washington who thought he was going to head back there. And again, he could go to all these places. This is a report that he's going to go to the Mets. It's, you know, obviously he's going to sign. Someone offers him a multi-year deal, you sign it. And maybe the Mets can turn things around. They don't have a manager yet. They're still a little rough around the edges right now. But the fact of the matter is Scherzer would be a positive acquisition for them. Of course, it would be the most Mets thing to ever met to see Scherzer fall apart on the Mets watch after all these wonderful years he had in Detroit and Washington, the half season he spent in Los Angeles. But as of right now, it's not official. It's not official. This would be an interesting time capsule of when we thought Max Scherzer was going to sign with the Mets. But it looks like something might happen. A couple other things have happened since I recorded that other podcast just a couple of hours ago. Avisail Garcia was signed by the Marlins, and Kevin Gausman was signed by the Blue Jays. And this is a nice move that the Blue Jays made. As I said the other day, as I said in the other episode, that it's critical that the Blue Jays can't let the core around them fall apart. Now, they lost Steven Matz. They just lost Marcus Semien. Now, Kevin Gausman had an outstanding year for San Francisco. He finished sixth in the Cy Young vote. He's actually finished 21st in the MVP vote. Threw a lot of innings, 192 innings, led the league in starts, won a bunch of games, had a very low ERA, struck out 227 batters in 192 innings to only 50 walks. He had probably the best season of his career. Pitched many years in Baltimore, bounced around a little bit between Atlanta and Cincinnati. He is 31 years old. And will be 31 in just about a month or so. And the former first-round draft pick from Louisiana State University will certainly be an effective pitcher next year. So the signing of Gausman will help offset the loss of Steven Matz. So that was one thing that happened since the last podcast that I recorded. So you have Avisail Garcia signed. Gausman signed, so that means something positive is happening with the Toronto Blue Jays. Sandy Alcantara signed a contract extension with the Marlins, which is nice. Their ace, their top pitcher, their all-star is going to stick around Miami for a little bit. Here's the thing I don't know. Another signing that I don't understand. I understand why it happened. John Gray joins Marcus Semien in Texas. I really understand why the Rangers would want to make the deal. Again, this is not official yet, but it looks like it's going to happen. Here's the thing. I just don't understand when the Rockies, who had a decent second half of the season, actually, they had a chance to trade John Gray. They had a chance to trade Trevor Story. And they didn't. And John Gray looks like he's going to sign with Texas, and maybe Story's going to sign with Texas, or maybe he's going to sign with St. Louis. I don't know. But they'll get, a draft pick or something like that. Why didn't they deal him? I don't understand. He would have been a valuable trade chip. A lot of teams could have used a pitcher like John Gray down the stretch. It makes absolutely no sense to me that they held on to him just to let him walk. I mean, the absolutely surreal trade deadline where the stagnancy of the Colorado Rockies just is coming home to roost right now. They could have gotten a good prospect for Trevor Story, a good prospect for John Gray. I mean, when they didn't trade them away, I thought maybe they're like, hey, they may try to sign them to the long-term deal. And alas, they played better in the second half, but still, he's gone now. And that chip, that ability to build upon that, is gone with him. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And I'm telling you, the Rockies are one of those organizations. If you have those chips to trade, I'm not saying you always have to trade everyone that isn't nailed down and you have to, tank. But at the same time, when you're not going anywhere and you can improve yourself, there's a difference. That's different than tanking. And I don't get what's happening. I don't understand it. So anyway, I mean, the signing of Gausman by Toronto and the courtship of the Mets with Max Scherzer makes this a you know, kind of an interesting day. That I'm going, how often am I going to update this podcast today? But, you know, it's a surefire bet that we're not done seeing moves being made. And if you're going to be making any bets, go to BetOnline, which remains the number one spot for all your sports action this fall. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. You got BetOnline has pro and college hoops, hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. And hey, also being sponsored today is Direct TV Stream. Hey, let me ask you if this sounds familiar. You have one device that lets you catch the game live. You have another one that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. I want to tell you there's a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called Direct TV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter, the confusion, get your TV together with Direct TV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. It's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So let's just go briefly to what the Marlins did. I do love that they signed Sandy Alcantara, all-star, who has put together some terrific years. And it's a five-year extension, which means he'll have played a decade with Miami. And he's 26 years old and good for the Marlins. I thought, sure, he would have been a trade chip. And he was a pickup when the Marlins traded away Marcell Ozuna to St. Louis. So, you know, this is an example of a move that isn't a salary dump or tanking, but they've actually improved their team. And, you know, good riddance, Marcell Ozuna, of course. But now this solid player is going to be there and maybe be part of the foundation of a decent pitching staff. Now, Avisail Garcia has been around for a long, long time. Garcia played for Milwaukee last year and had a solid season, an OPS of 820. He wound up hitting 29 home runs, played 135 games. He's been good for the Brewers. He played that 1 year in Tampa Bay. Most of his career was with the White Sox, where he was part of the deal when he was acquired by the Tigers in the three-team deal that involved Jake Peavy going to the Red Sox and Jose Iglesias going to Detroit. He went to the White Sox. So with that, the Marlins have some right-handed power and an ace for the long term. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. So we have, you know, the Scherzer still floating around there right now. So I'm just checking it. It's kind of like seeing, you know, I'm checking Twitter. I'm refreshing MLB trade rumors constantly to see what's going on. And just basically we're on watch right now. We're on watch. This is going to be the big thing. This is going to be the big move for the Mets to make that splash before the door comes down on the lockout. And no, we are not renaming the show Lockout MLB. It's not going to happen. The Rays lost Michael Wacha and signed Corey Kluber. Kluber had a one-year deal with the Rays. Kluber pitched with the Yankees this last year and had a no-hitter for his troubles. He also had a bunch of injuries. Kluber, of course, is a former Cy Young Award winner. Probably would have been the World Series MVP had the Indians won the 2016 World Series. Then again, if he pitched better in Game 7, they probably would have won that game anyway. It was a Cy Young contender. The Cy Young finished third in the Cy Young vote his last full season, which was 2018. We're through 215 innings. He threw 35 and two-third innings in 2019. He threw one inning in 2020. Last year, he threw 80 innings with the no-hitter. Pitched well for the Yankees when he was there, but he's off to Tampa Bay right now, and watch him become the next great reliever in the history of baseball. So, all right, well, what we're going to do is this. You know, it is, you know, relatively late right now. I'm going to go to bed. That's all there is to it. I'm going to go to bed right now. And when I wake up, we're going to take a look to see what happened when I was asleep. Because if something happened when I was asleep, we're going to do this. But either way, I'm releasing this one on Monday morning. So on Monday, you're going to have two brand new episodes. After taking the weekend off, we have two brand new episodes. So let's see. I'm nervous to go to bed. But hey, let's see what happens. Okay, I'm up. I'm awake. It's very early on the morning of the 29th of November, and he's still not officially signed. Max Scherzer is still not officially signed. So my whole idea of doing this emergency podcast was to be on top of things, to make sure that when things happen, things don't slip through the cracks. But he's still not signed. Apparently, the Mets are offering 40 million tomatoes a year, which is a lot of money. And the Mets are doing that because it's not going to be like a super long contract. It'll be like, what, a three-year deal or something crazy like that for about $40 million a year. That way you may overpay Max Scherzer, but you're getting him in that rotation. You're hoping a rotation that would include Scherzer, that would include a healthy Jacob deGrom would be the type of rotation, and maybe lure back Stroman would be the rotation that could win the National League East, which the Mets have to desperately do. And even if it means paying Scherzer just all the money on the planet, that's what it means for this franchise. Here's where I'm worried about. With the talk of it being so imminent, and here we are hours later, and there's still no final word, this does smell a little bit like what happened with the San Diego Padres in the offseason, which was basically that all the rumors were that Scherzer was heading to the Padres, and at the last minute he wound up going to Los Angeles, and the Padres were left at, you know, at the altar. This was, you know, that was a big humiliating thing for the Padres and led to their demise. Well, we're still sitting here, and I'm actually going to hear. I'm going to refresh Twitter again. Nope, still nothing. Still nothing. Now, there are other rumors are floating around. Rumors that Corey Seager is probably going to – we all knew Corey Seager was probably going to leave Los Angeles. That's why they included Trey Turner in the Max Scherzer trade. That way, that was insurance. That was an insurance policy, knowing that World Series hero Corey Seager might go with another team. Now, the strange thing is that he's rumored to be going to Texas, who just signed Marcus Semien and are not contenders. Maybe they are. I don't know. They acquired John Gray. They acquired Corey Seager. They're certainly, John Daniels and company are not taking this lightly. They're hoping that the A's are going to fall to earth, and they're hoping that the Astros are going to, come back down to earth, and hoping that the Angels and the Mariners won't take over the division. Maybe they're like, hey, this could be a potential winnable division. I know the answer to that, and neither do you, but the fact of the matter is the Rangers are suddenly very, very aggressive. Here's a team that I find interesting that is not being aggressive right now, especially with the door closing as fast as it is, are the Yankees. The Yankees, who desperately need a new shortstop, the Yankees, who desperately need some pitching depth, are not linked with Scherzer, but oddly not linked with Seager or Story or Correa. Oh, you can't have Correa because he was part of the Astros. Shut up. He'll help the Yankees and you'll love him. But, Story and Seager, insert them into the Yankee infield and it would be an automatic improvement and give them the depth they need and be able to move some of the pieces they need around the infield to give them depth. Now, this could be a situation where they're on the verge of doing something and they're just not in the rumor mill. That's a distinct possibility. It's just interesting that we're seeing, you know, I thought Simeon would be a great fit for the Yankees, and he's a Yankee killer, and is versatile. He can play parts of the infield if they decide to play him at short or run, but it doesn't matter. He's with the Texas Rangers. I thought for sure Corey Seager was going to sign with the Yankees. I thought that was the best fit. He's the type of hitter there. He can play shortstop. Is he the greatest defensive shortstop in the world? No. But he would help the Yankees, has the World Series experience, is a postseason hero, and I think would fit right in. I thought Story also be a terrific fit. Neither are happening. Doesn't appear to be happening. And maybe the purpose of this podcast in its own way was a failure. I was trying to stay on top of things. And in my effort to try to stay on top of things, I make sure that when you listen to the podcast, it's automatically relevant. It's not obsolete the nanosecond you hear it. Maybe it slipped away from me. Do you know why? Because I'm sitting here and it's 4:30 in the morning in Los Angeles and there's still nothing to report. And I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to make my prediction. You're going to hear it here first. You got to hear anything here first because it's still dark out. It still feels like night. That whatever happens, as I'm getting ready to go to work, Pal Sully's going to go to the gym. I'm trying to take care of myself. Whatever's going to happen, I'm going to put this together. I'm going to put together the video. I'm going to put together the audio. You're going to hear the ads. You're going to see the little pictures. You're going to upload it on the YouTubes. You're going to upload it on the Facebooks. You're going to upload it on the Twitters and all the things and all the Instagrams and everything that this place exists at. And the second I hit publish, and the second I get in my car and head to work, Scherzer is going to announce a multi-year contract with the Twins or something that we're not predicting right now, making everything I'm saying totally irrelevant in my attempt to not stay irrelevant. And thus, the dilemma of a daily podcast is there. By the way, other rumors include Robbie Ray. I mean, like, we have 2 days before the end of the collective bargaining agreement. Now, I've said this before, I don't want there to always be a collective bargaining agreement crisis, but I do like having these kinds of deadlines in the off season. Makes things interesting. And it gets teams focused on putting together their clubs. So by the time they hit the spring training, they're not sitting around like, yeah, we'll see what free agents are still available and sort of pick and choose. Kind of like that. Is there a way to do something like this in future off seasons? I'm all for it. Robbie Ray is being rumored to possibly go into the Giants, possibly going to the Tigers, which would make the Tigers an interesting team. The Twins were interesting that they're in the rumor mill for that. But, and of course, Toronto, you know, you should probably resign your Cy Young Award winner. I'm just saying something about that. So, anyway, well, I attempted. I'm going to refresh Twitter one more time. I'm clicking over there. And Scherzer is my Twitter search that I'm looking for. Any news on Scherzer? Any news on Max Scherzer? Maybe I'll just write Scherzer in general, because maybe not everyone is putting Bang Bang Maxwell on there. I can't say that. The Mets are close. They're close. Everything is saying close. But nope, nothing signed. The Mets have made a multi-year offer. Everything is still open. And the fact that he has a record deal sitting on the table and nothing is secure makes me nervous. But by the time you're listening to this, the news is probably already broken. All right, well, I gotta get to work. I tried to stay on top of things, and here we are. But hey, you can stay on top of things by making us your first listen. Thanks for making us your first listen. If you want to have your second listen, be Locked On Bets with your boy Q. He takes care of all your gambling needs, along with expert analysis from Lee Sterling. Trying to stay on top of things, giving you two podcasts, and still not knowing anything. This is Locked On MLB for the 29th day of November 2021. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. I'm going to refresh again.